Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about the matchmaking process of beginning with relationship coaching and the first initial 15-minute call with your matchmaking prospect. So let's go ahead and move on then to the one-hour consultation. After you've done the 15-minute consultation, you've both agreed that it seems like a good fit, you're going to want to go ahead and schedule a one-hour consultation. Now, this is something that you can charge for. Some matchmakers do charge for this. I generally charge a higher fee for a one-hour consultation because it's more of an intake process for me, and we only have an hour. Some people do this for free. So it's really up to you and how you decide you want to run your matchmaking operation. But during the one-hour consultation, I found a lot of information in the 15-minute call, and now I want to dig deeper into that. I definitely have some information that I've gotten from that call that is going to help me with questions that I want to ask and areas that I want to know more about, right? So, but the first thing that we're going to start with is recent dating experience. How long have you been out there dating? Some people are going to tell me, you know, well, I just started. I just got out of a marriage. I just got divorced. And I just started. Other people are going to tell me they've been dating for 10 years, right? And they just can't find somebody. This goes back to our water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink, right? Really? You've been dating for 10 years and you haven't been able to find somebody. Interesting. We're not going to comment on a lot of this information initially with the client. We're not going to jump into any advice or coaching at this point. We're just asking questions and getting answers and gathering information so we can really come up with our psychological profile, if you will, of the client and where we want to focus on as we move forward. So you want to find out about recent dating experience. Then you want to find out about relationship history. Okay, so somebody's going to tell me, well, I've dated three people in the last 5 years, right? And they want to tell me about those stories. But you know what I'm really most interested in is, which one of them were you really in love with? Okay? Maybe they convinced themselves to go out with somebody and they kind of tried it out for a while because they were nice, but they really didn't have feelings for them. I want to hear that story too, but I'm actually very interested in the person that they considered themselves to be in love with, any situations where they really suffered a broken heart. Right? And we also want to see if there's any pattern there with the same type of situation that's playing out. So relationship history is very, very important. Family history. I want to hear about your mom, your dad, where you grew up, who raised you, maybe it was grandparents, right? Who was your primary caregiver? Tell me about your childhood. Did you have brothers and sisters? I really want to get some information there and see if I can find any little nuggets that are going to jump out at me as important in working with this person. And I'm concerned about the relationships, right? So it's not just like, tell me about your mom and your dad. You know, tell me about your relationship with your mom. Tell me about your relationship with your dad. Tell me, what is the best thing that you remember about your mom? What's the worst thing that you remember about your experiences with your mom, right? Those are some really specific questions. And I want you to be mindful of asking specific questions because sometimes, especially when you're meeting with men, it can be like talking to my teenage daughter. How was your day at school today, sweetie? It was fine. Right? That gives me nothing. So I want specifics. Right? So now I ask her things like, who did you sit with at lunch today? Totally different question. But I'm trying to find out the same information. Right? Okay, so family history. I also want to know some financial history. What kind of financial position are you in? Right? We talked earlier about something that I call fear attracts predators. Right? So if we have a woman who is in a desperate financial situation, she's really afraid. Maybe she's a single parent and She is looking for somebody to solve a financial problem, right? She's in fear. Fear attracts predators, right? So I want to be aware of somebody's financial situation, whether it's good or bad. If they're in a comfortable financial situation, that's good information to have too, right? I also want to know if they are in a really comfortable financial situation, what does that look like for their future relationship? Are you looking for somebody who is an equal earner to you, or do you feel comfortable being the breadwinner in a more traditional type of situation? So lots of questions come from this. What is your financial situation? I want to know medical situation. Do you have any serious medical problems? I think that that's something that somebody else would want to know. Are you on any psychiatric medication and why? Right? If you've got somebody who's bipolar and is taking psychiatric medication and they've been med compliant for 27 years, that's very different than somebody who's maybe recently diagnosed or struggles to be medication compliant, right? That's information you want to know. And then you want to know professionally. What do you do professionally? What's your occupation? What's your educational background? Do you like your job? Then we want to know relationship goals. Okay, what type of relationship are you coming to me for? And you're going to get, I want to get married, or you're going to get one of the five relationships that we described earlier. Also, what's very interesting is that you might get one of the five relationships that I described earlier, especially if you're talking to a woman, and then you're going to say, if you could have anything that you wanted, including getting married, and I told you I had guys who really want to get married, would you choose that, or would you choose the guy who like wants to live together, or, you know, isn't really sure what he wants? Oh my gosh, I would love to get married. I just don't think that I'm going to be able to find anybody who wants to get married too. Really, really common response. So I want you to challenge people on their relationship goals and telling you what they really want, and to stop filtering themselves. This is their opportunity to share their dream situation with somebody who might even be able to help them with that, right? So no filtering in the matchmaking interview. Now, you want to also ask them, okay, well, describe to me who it is that you're looking for. Tell me about this person that it is that you want to meet. And they're going to give you a lot of information. And this information is relevant, of course, because you want to know what type of person that you want to meet. But you're also finding out how is it that they evaluate people, and how is it they've evaluated people in the past. And you're going to see that some of them are evaluating on attraction, chemistry, and money. Right? And they need to learn the tools that we have to share with them. So it's really important information. Then based on that information, you're going to be able to come up with a customized program for them. I am not a believer in one-size-fits-all programs. I don't think that they're really effective. So you're going to customize a program for them. Now, again, we have kind of a template of things that we want to talk about over the 5 weeks, but you're going to have some things that you really want to hone in on with these people specifically. If they have been married 3 times, and every time they've been married to an alcoholic person, then you've got to look at, you know, some really focusing on some issues of codependency. You're going to have other people who they don't have that problem. That's not even remotely relevant for them, right? So everybody's going to have different things that they need to work on. You might have people who need to heal from a loss, from a last relationship, or they've become a widower or a widow, and they really need to heal and work through that loss. So you're going to work that into your program. But we always do include the basic components that we talked about previously, science, psychology, biblical wisdom, and their personal love blueprint. So we're going to get into how we do that. But basically at this point, what you want to let them know is that you are going to customize a program for them, and it's 5 weeks. Okay, you're going to meet once an hour on the phone. It could be in person if you want to do that. I prefer to do my meetings on the phone. Once a week for 1 hour for 5 weeks. Then here's the next thing that I do. I charge for coaching, and I charge a severely discounted rate for coaching, especially when you look at what I charge for matchmaking comparisons. So what I charge is $450 for total for 5 sessions of coaching with me. And the reason that I make it so discounted is because I want people to have a no-brainer to be able to say yes. Right? That's affordable. It's not going to break the bank. They can do that. And I also believe in the coaching so much that I know that even if they don't sign up for matchmaking with me, that they're going to go out there and be more successful in dating on their own, but they're also going to be in my database, and they're going to be somebody that I can call on, even if they're not a client, for my future clients that they might be a great match for. I want people who are in my matchmaking database that have been trained by me to send out with my paying clients. So I want to offer the coaching at a discount. And then I also do something else where I say, you know what, I believe in the coaching so much, and I know that it makes the matchmaking so much more successful, that if you sign up for matchmaking with me, I will deduct what you paid for the coaching from the balance of the matchmaking, making your coaching free. So that's how much I believe in it. That's how important it is to me. And 85 to 90% of the time, people really want to do the coaching. So, and then we start with homework. And I say, okay, your first homework assignment, let's schedule your first appointment. And your first homework assignment is I want you to send me your photos that you're currently using. Most people already have an online dating profile. Okay? If they don't, you still want their photos, whatever they would use if they did have an online dating profile. So you want their photos, and 3 to 5 photos is great. And then you also want their profile. So if they're on online dating, you want a copy of whatever they're using for their online dating profile. This is going to give you a ton of information. Okay, coaching week 1. At this point, you're going to really get to know the client in depth. You're going to go into an even more in-depth dating history, but this time, instead of them telling you, you're going to really drill down on any red flags that came up for you in the 1-hour consultation. Okay? Same thing with the relationship history. Then you're going to ask them, what are some concerns that you want to address? What are some questions that you have about dating or relationships that you've just been dying to ask somebody? So you want to open that up from the very beginning, because as you're customizing this program, you want to make sure that you're addressing the topics that are interesting to them. And anybody who has done sales may have studied consultative selling, right? Instead of walking into a room and throwing up a presentation on people, you find out what their needs are, and then you tailor your presentation to how you can meet their needs, and that keeps them engaged, right? So same situation here. What are the concerns that you want to address, and what questions do you have for me? Then we're going to go on to, then I also like to ask, and you can add this, it's not on the slide, is there anything that you want to change about yourself? If you could change anything about yourself, what would it be? If you could improve anything about yourself, what could it be? And finally, if you could do anything that you wanted to do, money wasn't an issue, you had $1 million, $10 million in the bank, what would you do? So you're kind of getting a snippet then of what what their vision is, what their spiritual gifts are. It's wonderful when you talk to people who say, I do exactly what I'm doing right now for totally for free, right? If money wasn't an issue. Then you're going to find other people who are telling you that they have just these things that they would love to do, but they don't believe that they could ever afford to do it. They feel limited in their ability to do that for whatever reason, right? So this is when you call Doug DeVos and get some of his Amway training on leadership and thinking outside the box, right? So anyway, you want to ask these questions so you can really key into, are they in their purpose? Are they developing their spiritual gifts? Is there any leadership ability that's there, right? All of these foundational things in being a human that are necessary before you can even be in a relationship, you want to get to here. Now, then you're going to give your next homework assignment. This is my favorite homework assignment. And what I ask is for them to make a list of whoever their dream person is that they would like to meet. Then I ask them to schedule professional photos if the photos they don't have are not professional. Professional photos get results. I have a whole list of things for them to understand about professional photos. For example, with online dating or even with matchmaking, people get more clicks and more yeses when they're wearing red and when they have a smile showing their teeth on their primary photo. Don't wear white when photos, it washes you out. Always wear solid colors, don't wear patterns. So there's a whole list of things that that I go through for the professional photos that based on science and research, because men are visual, women also want to see nice photos too, right? But based on science and research, how can they present themselves in their very best light, right? Because that first impression is going to be what entices somebody to want to know more many times, okay? However, when I am doing my matchmaking, I do try and show the photos last after we've gone over the profile and I've told somebody how excited I am about somebody that I want them to meet and why they're a great match for them. So we schedule professional photos. Most people can get professional photos done, you know, somewhere in their town for anywhere between $100 and $200. So not super expensive. And then I review the photos and the profile that they sent me the last time. So as I'm reviewing their photos, the conversation I have quite frequently is, wow, the photos that you're using on your online dating profile have you wearing sunglasses. I can't even see your eyes. The eyes are the window to the soul. People want to see your eyes. Wow, the pictures that you have are really great, but there are these action shots, and you know, you're swimming with the dolphins and skiing down the hill and climbing the mountain, and I can't see your face. Right? You're on the ski lift with your, you know, ski goggles on. I can't see your face. So, you know, pictures with your, you don't have any kids, but you have this picture with your nephew, and your intention was to let the girl see that, you know, you like kids and you're like a really nice guy, but you don't have any kids. But I'm a woman. I'm looking at that. I'm going like, oh, this guy has kids. I'm looking for somebody who's never had kids because I've never had kids, and I want to have that experience for the first time with somebody. And I'm 24 years old. I can totally make that decision, right? And there are plenty of options for me. So there are a lot of things that people miscommunicate through their photos on their online dating profile. And again, people are not marketing and branding experts. So it's a whole degree that people get in marketing and branding, right? And even those marketing branding experts, I guarantee, have a difficult time marketing and branding themselves, right? So we all need feedback in this process of dating. So what I want to see in the professional photos is I want to see three different outfits. At least, and I want to see outfits that you would wear on a date. I don't want to see what you would wear to work, right, as a doctor. I don't want to see you in your scrubs. I don't want to see you in, you know, whatever it is that you would wear to work if you're a construction worker, right? I want to see what would you wear on a date, three different outfits, okay? And I also would like two headshots and one full body shot. So I can see all of you and then two headshots. So that's what I would like to see with the photos. That's most of my directions. Okay, so homework number one, directions, the list. I want you to write out a list of your dream partner. Don't hold anything back. The list has to have at least 10 items, but it can be up to 2 pages. So usually I've got to limit my women with 2 pages, and I've got to force my guys to give me at least 10 things. please, and I say please, use bullet points and be as detailed as possible. And here's what you can include: religion, politics, age range, education, income, character, personality, lifestyle, height, looks, hobbies and interests, health, fitness, diet, substance use, relationship goals, divorce, never married, children, how they treat you, and how they make you feel. So these are all things that people can include, and I encourage them to, like, dream big, give me everything that you've got. Do not censor yourself in this list, because one of the things that I am not going to tell them this at this time, but one of the things that I really want to get to are, what are the things in their mind that they really want that maybe are unrealistic or haven't been prioritized properly that they're rejecting people for, right? So you're going to find this out next week when you go over their list with them, and you're going to see, number one, I'm looking for a guy who is 6'2" or taller. And you're going to have a conversation and say, listen, Betty, you're 5'6". You're 5'4". Why do you need a guy who's 6'2"? Well, I don't know. I just really like tall guys. Oh, that's really interesting. Have you ever thought about why? Well, no. That's what I'm attracted to. Okay, that's cool. I'm going to tell you a really interesting story. One of my girlfriends, she was 5'8". She really liked to wear heels. She had a rule that she would only go out with guys who were 6'2" or taller, just like you. Oh, well, what happened to her? Well, let me tell you. She went out with only guys who were 6'2". And she struggled in her relationships until she really sat down and she thought, you know, what is it about a guy that's 6'2"? What does it make me feel? And she realized that it made her feel safe and protected. Right? Meanwhile, there was a guy, his name was Doug, and for years Doug had expressed that he was really interested in her, and she kind of kept him in the friend zone, wasn't really interested in pursuing anything romantically with Doug, because Doug, while really awesome, was only 5'10". But what she realized was that when she was with Doug, she felt more safe and secure than she had ever felt with anyone. So, long story short, she's now married to Doug, and they have a beautiful daughter who's 4 years old. She's never been happier. So, one of the things that we want to do with some of these criteria that might seem unrealistic is say, is ask those questions. Well, that's a really interesting criteria. How does it make you feel when you're with someone who has that quality? And then you're going to get to the real underlying issues that you need to talk about. The next thing that you're going to do with the list is you're going to prioritize things, right? Betty, I understand that you want to meet somebody who's Christian, and it's very reasonable that that is a non-negotiable item for you. We're going to make that number one, right? However, you know, somebody who goes to the gym 6 days a week, are you willing to maybe put that in the category of something that is a want but not a need? If I find you a really amazing Christian guy who's committed to the Lord, but he only goes to the gym once a week, would that be okay? Right? So we want to look at those things, because she might have been evaluating these criteria in the wrong order. Right? She's just swiping through it, going like, he doesn't go to the gym 7 days a week, next. Because you think that you've got this catalog full of people that's endless. I remember when I was a little girl, I would get mad at my mother, and I don't know how old I was, 4, 5, 6, at that time, you won't remember this, but you will. At that time, there was a Sears catalog. Everybody had the Sears catalog on their coffee table in the living room. And, you know, there were all these pictures of these pretty ladies that were in there, and so I got mad at my mom, and I'd say, I'm ordering a new mom out of the Sears catalog, right? It's full moms. So some people look at online dating the same way, that they can just, you know, order up, special order of the menu, and it's just really not true. A lot of times I tell people I'm not cooking them up in my basement, okay? So we really need to prioritize the list, and some things are going to get crossed off the list. Some things are going to realize are not a priority at all. You don't have to fight with them and get really nitpicky at this stage in the game, because after they go through some of the classes and get the information and knowledge, at the end you're going to ask them to make a new list. And you're going to see it's going to be very different than this one once they gain some understanding. Okay. Why don't we just take a short break and then come back and talk more about Coaching Week 2.